Danny Ainge is the Celtics president of basketball operations. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
We are doing well. Planning a trip this weekend to East Lyme, Connecticut for my son's baseball tournament. Beautiful
nice.
Stuff. Oh, couldn't be happier.
Now, how old is he?
He is about to turn 13.
Okay. Have you gone to the tournament at Cooperstown?
No, that has not been. That I would enjoy. That I enjoy Cooperstown. There's only one Hall of Fame that I enjoy, and that is Cooperstown. And I like the town around there. You been there?
Yeah, I've been there for Little League Baseball, and, they have like 30 or 40 fields and facilities there, and it's really, really fun to play Little League tournaments there.
Yeah, we're at some high school in East Lyme, Connecticut. It doesn't seem like
a little different.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't have the pomp and circumstances being around the all-time greats. This is not the case that we're in. So, that is what I got going on, but not as fun as your weekend, I'm sure, but you know. It is what it is. All right, so Danny, bad news with Jaylen Brown's injury, and we saw pictures. He's had the surgery. This is curiosity, not a conspiracy theory. Let me get that out of the way. This is just pure curiosity. All right, so they pinpoint the injury where they think Jaylen hurt his wrist to like 3 games ago or 4 games ago. Jaylen plays 3 games after that, and that kicks in, to my knowledge, a bonus that he was to get for playing a certain amount of games. Okay, just out of curiosity, if a player gets injured and they have a incentive, can you give them the incentive anyway? Because I know that it works that way in baseball, and I know they can do it in football. Can you decide to give a player an incentive even if they technically don't hit it?
No, I don't think they can. But that's not really the case. I mean, Jaylen had the wrist was bothering him a little bit. Well, way back in the on the West Coast trip, he's had 38, 39, 32-point games like through all of that. It's I think the injury was much older than what's been reported. I mean, he definitely did aggravate it on a few occasions over the last few weeks, but I don't think the actual injury happened any time over recently.
Okay, and so it just got to the point where it was unbearable for him, and it was time to get the surgery.
I wouldn't say unbearable. I would say concerning and bothersome, and so he got images done on it. I mean, he had the ankle injury and the shoulder injury, and was looking like he was going to be back. I think last week I told you I thought he'd be playing on Sunday, and looked like he was going to be back. He was working, the wrist was bothering him a little, but I think when everything else got healthy and he went to get the final imaging, he decided, just let's get that wrist checked, and it showed that there was some ligament damage, so he went ahead and got the surgery done.
Is that an injury that is something that if you continue to play with it, it makes it worse, or is that a pain issue?
I think it's both. I think it potentially can get worse. It might not get worse, but yeah, I think there's always some risk of injuring it worse.
Okay.
He's crazy banged up.
Yeah.
Bursitis and shoulder and wrist.
Don't forget ankle. You left out ankle.
Oh, yeah, and the big ankle. I mean, when I found out, I think all of us, when we found out that he wasn't going to be playing again, we all thought it was his ankle.
Instead of the other three things that were bothering him.
Yeah, so is this a situation that you just think in off season he comes back, he's healthy next year, he's not playing in any discomfort or pain?
Yes. Yeah. No. I think he's fine. I think the other things are just things that happen through the course of the season, especially as you're a player that throws his body into the big guys in full speed in transition. And I mean, the ankle was kind of a fluky one, and the shoulder, like those will be fine. And now the this wrist issue will be fine. Yeah, he'll be fine in a few months.
So with Jalen being hurt, you know, obviously this is just kind of the cherry on the crud sundae so far of what the season has been as far as bad luck for this team. There's been a lot of, I mean, I think there's been more COVID missed games on the Celtics than any other team. There's been other injuries. Romeo Langford, obviously, a poor guy, seems like he's been cursed. But when you take a look at this offseason, it does seem like it would be an easy thing to say to go, well, you know what? We rarely had the starting five on the court or the starting or like our top seven playing in the same game. You know, Jaylen Brown was hurt. There's a lot of reasons that you could look at this year and convince yourself to maybe try to run it back. Do you believe it would be acceptable, the way this team has played this year, to bring back the same squad with minimal changes for one more year?
I don't really know what you mean by acceptable, but I think that we will definitely be looking to make some changes in the off season, and obviously can't go into any of those kind of details. But yeah, there will be changes. How significant? I don't know yet. We'll see.
Okay,
you firing Brad?
Nice try.
Yeah, I thought I thought your old pal Fred over here could get you to commit to,
well done,
one way or the other. But okay, all right, you caught me.
Well, Brad's getting killed again, you know. And I don't know if you heard your buddy Charles Barkley mention yesterday that, you know, the same way that everyone patted Brad Stevens on the back for these past several seasons, he said that they should kick his ass for what he did this year. How much criticism do you think now he deserves in all of this? I know we've talked about Brad, but now we're getting the totality of a season, and you've got, you know, some fairly respected people in the industry speaking out against him.
Well, I think that if you follow our team on a daily basis, I think you guys know the answer to that. I mean, you started out by saying it. I mean, last night we're without four of our top six players. It's hard to win in this league. I don't care who you're playing. And it's been that way all year. Just when we think. I mean, we talk every week, and it's just like this weekend, it looks like we're going to have our team back. We're going to have our starting five in this week. Everything's looking good. It's looking fresh. And it's been that way the whole year. And then something else happens. And then, you know, I'm not – listen, we all have blame to share. There's no doubt about it. But you can't just look at a coach and take his whole body of work throughout his whole coaching career and throw this year and then, like, make a judgment, for crying out loud. That is idiotic.
Well, and, you know, he might have set expectations to a level that were unrealistic. And in my opinion, you don't punish a guy for getting expectations high.
But Fred, in fairness, on any level, the team has underperformed this year, correct?
No, you would definitely can. Well, Danny's on the phone. But yeah, you would definitely consider, you know, you would say, all right, well, this isn't what are the problems? But you know, my opinion is I wouldn't fire the guy. But all right. So. But we see Brad is, you know, he always is very even keeled with the media and everything like that. Is there any chance of him snapping at some point? I mean, because I do know that, you know, perceived lack of effort, struggling defensively. I mean, unless he's unlike every other coach I've ever met in my entire life at any level, these are things that just kill them.
Yeah, Danny, have you ever gone into Brad's office and seen things thrown around?
Yeah, and I'm not saying he's too mild-mannered. I'm not doing any of that. I'm speaking as a human being. Like, are we getting close to a point where he's just like, oh, Lord, come on. Right. Like, I can't take this anymore.
Sure.
Well, Brad does snap on occasion.
Yeah.
As a coach, I mean, we don't see it behind the scenes, but I've seen it, and, you know, I think it is healthy. But, you know, somebody's got to keep the even keel perspective, like, out during the games. I mean, we have a lot of players that are very emotional. Most players are very emotional and ride the ups and downs. And so having someone of his temperament is a great advantage, not a disadvantage. But, yeah, no, Brad snaps and Brad loses his mind. And he's, you know, he puts more time and effort into this than anybody. And coaches are prepared. And I'm not saying that Brad is a perfect coach. He'll tell you he's got things that he can improve on that he wishes he would have done different and better this year. But that's not the issue. Like, Brad Stevens is a fantastic basketball coach. Always has been, and is getting better, not worse. Our team has been decimated with injuries and has underperformed. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we're not as good as we thought we were. It's that simple.
Now, I know you're a fan of Kendrick Perkins and you're a fan of Marcus Smart, so this was a weird situation the other day. Kendrick Perkins on NBC Sports Boston after one of the games said, quote, "I think something drastic needs to happen and it's not firing Brad Stevens." He said, "I think that Marcus Smart has ran his course. I think guys are tired of hearing his voice in the locker room. I think guys are tired of his ill-advised shot taking at times, some of his turnovers that he has. You can see it in people's body language. When he tries to do too much, it deflates the team. So I do think the Celtics need to look into moving Marcus Smart this summer, to be honest with you. I think he's run his course." What do you say about Kendrick Perkins' assessment of Marcus?
Well, I'm not going to comment on that other than I'm going to say Marcus Smart, since he's been healthy coming back from the, it took him a while to get going again, but you know, so the whole commentary on tired of hearing someone's voice, and I mean, losing is hard. And, I mean, I've been on a lot of teams in my 40-something years in professional sports where not everybody liked to hear anybody's voice, but when you're winning, everyone's laughing and joking about it. Losing is hard. And so I don't think anybody's head needs to roll. But Marcus has been playing well as of late. Since the trade deadline, I think, is about the time where he's started playing his best. He has shown great leadership. Marcus is one of the guys that has that resolve that this team has lacked through a lot of this year when, like I've said before, you know, like 30 minutes of really good basketball and 18 minutes of disaster has been a common thread to this team this year. I've watched many games and I rewatch them and say, man, there's a lot of really good things going on out there, and there's a lot of really good individual effort. But, man, why are we not executing that defensive possession right there and that big shot? And it just seems like, you know, just like I think the last couple games epitomized it. Like, I thought our team came out with effort and energy against Miami in game two. And you know, they went crazy. I think they made like 11 out of 14 threes in one stretch, including like three or four shot clock beaters. Goran Dragic hit some crazy shots. It was, and then last night, you know, Kevin Love, they go on a stretch and make 7 out of 8. If that team had been playing all year, they would be a completely different team. But we have been snake bitten, but we also are doing it ourselves. We've let up at times, but getting back to Marcus, he's as much as anybody a guy that really keeps our team fighting when things aren't going great, and he does have that resolve, and we all know that about Marcus. And the bottom line is our team hasn't been as consistent, hasn't been as healthy, and we definitely will need to make some changes. But I wouldn't say there's any needed changes of our best players.
So you said Marcus is giving the effort. Who isn't giving the effort that you'd expect?
Mm.
Yeah, so I think that it's not just an effort. It's a concentration. It's a focus. It's you know, you've heard Brad discuss this, and we've discussed this on this show, that, you know, how do you explain that we're 3-10 against some of the worst records in the league, and we're 8-1 against some of the best records in the league? And, you know, that's been a theme and a problem of not, you know, getting that consistency.
That's
and
effort.
Playing if,
yeah.
If we need to.
That's effort to me. If you're good against good teams, it means you're trying. If you're bad against bad teams, it means you've taken your foot off the gas. So who isn't giving that effort that you expect? If Marcus is, who isn't?
I'm saying I blame everybody. And I'm saying everybody is guilty of both of those, of playing great in the good games and bad in the bad games. It's a collective team.
And so you understand why people are pointing at Brad Stevens. And I like Brad Stevens, and I obviously don't think he should go. But, I mean, when it's everybody, like if it was like several players, you could go, all right, well, right there I'm seeing these guys are not giving the effort that we had hoped, and we have to do something about it. But when it's the whole team, then you understand why people point at Brad Stevens.
Well, listen, I've been in professional sports for over 40 years. You guys, of course, I understand why you guys point at Brad Stevens, or people that aren't paying attention to the team point at Brad Stevens, but I'm there every day, and that's the least of our worries.
Right. Well, in fairness, we have to make up for not watching the games. I mean,
Danny, they have been tough to watch lately, and I watch every game.
You really got to want it at times.
I might watch a baking show.
I mean, what do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game? Are you crazy?
It has been tough lately, Danny.
Well, but beyond that, I mean, who has the time? I mean, this is good television.
No, but I understand. But we, like, coaches always get fired, and, you know, like, we get. But the job is to identify what the real issues are, not what perceived issues are. And I'm just telling you, the real issues are not Brad Stevens.
What is the real issue?
Good try.
All right. The real issue is the maintenance men at the arena have not been up to par.
I do have to ask you, because someone actually tweeted us this question that they needed to know. They said, ask if you remember coming into the Burger King on Mass Pike. It's now McDonald's a few hours before an NBA Finals game in 85 and ordering huge amounts of food with Kevin McHale. They lost that night. Do you remember that situation? This guy apparently worked there.
I do not believe that happened, nor do I remember it. It's possible, but I doubt it.
It could have been.
Did you guys crush Burger King before finals games?
I know. I mean, maybe Cedric Maxwell did that, but not. I don't think Kevin or I.
I believe that, by the way.
Oh, Cedric Maxwell.
Having worked with Max, I believe that.
What's that, Danny?
And I also don't ever remember driving into the game with Kevin McHale. He lived in Weston, I lived in Wellesley. We didn't really go in together, ever.
There you go. Yeah.
It was just another gentleman who looked exactly like Kevin McHale, just walking around.
He was Frankenstein in a movie.
There's only one Herman Munster still living.
Fred Gwynn has left us too soon. All right, Danny Ainge, thank you so much for the time, sir. We always appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
See you later. Thanks. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.